Welcome to the Rapid Learning Center's audio tutorial, The Autonomic Nervous System. By listening to this tutorial, you will learn about the following: an overview of the autonomic nervous system, the parasympathetic division, the sympathetic division, as well as higher order functions. The Autonomic Nervous System Concept Map. The peripheral nervous system is made up of the autonomic nervous system and the somatic nervous system. The somatic nervous system innervates skeletal muscles. The autonomic nervous system includes the sympathetic division, the parasympathetic division, and the enteric division. The parasympathetic division is active during times of rest, and it promotes digestion and absorption. The sympathetic division is active during times of stress on the body. It promotes increased activity in the cardiovascular system as well as the skeletal muscles. Most organs of the body are innervated by both the parasympathetic and sympathetic fibers. This is known as dual innervation. Let's begin with an overview of the autonomic nervous system. The physiological actions of the body, such as heart rate, blood pressure, and digestion, occur with little or no conscious thought. These involuntary actions maintain homeostasis within the body and are performed by the autonomic nervous system. The autonomic nervous system is made up of afferent and efferent neurons that connect the autonomic nervous system to visceral effector organs. The autonomic nervous system includes all the nerves that innervate the internal organs, blood vessels, and glands of the body. The parasympathetic division of the autonomic nervous system is active during periods of rest and digestion. And the parasympathetic division innervation involves certain cranial nerves. The sympathetic division of the autonomic nervous system is active during times of physical or mental stress on the body. As the system's activity increases, skeletal muscles and heart rate are prepared for a fight or flight response. The sympathetic division involves a sympathetic chain ganglia and sympathetic nerves, unlike the parasympathetic division. In addition to the parasympathetic and sympathetic divisions, the autonomic nervous system also includes the enteric division. The enteric division is located within the walls of the digestive tract. Sensory information is necessary for autonomic action. Sensory information enters the central nervous system for organs under the regulation of the autonomic nervous system. The sensory information is delivered into the central nervous system through primary sensory neurons. These neurons project onto second-order neurons in the brainstem region. The autonomic nervous system generates a response based on the information received from the sensory branch. For example, low blood oxygen levels generate an increase in the breathing rate. High blood pressure generates a decrease in the heart rate. And the presence of food in the stomach generates the response of increased digestive enzymes for digestion and absorption processes. Here's a clinical challenge exam question based on what you've learned so far in this tutorial. The key functions of the body, such as heart rate and breathing, are performed with innervation from the autonomic nervous system. Which of the following statements about the autonomic nervous system is correct? A. The autonomic nervous system is completely controlled at the conscious level. B. The parasympathetic division is also known as the fight or flight system. C. The sympathetic nervous system includes sympathetic chain ganglia. D. Cranial nerves play no role in the function of the autonomic nervous system. Or E. The actions and overall function of the autonomic nervous system requires no sensory information or impulses. Here's the answer to the question. This question tests your general knowledge of the autonomic nervous system. And the correct answer for this question was C. The sympathetic nervous system includes sympathetic chain ganglia. First, Raynaud's disease. Raynaud's disease is a common disorder that typically affects young women. In this disease, there's an excess transient sympathetic stimulation of the small arteries of the hands and feet. When the affected body parts are exposed to cold temperatures, this leads to changes in skin color. Initially, the skin turns pale, then blue. And then as the blood flow returns to normal, the skin can turn a fiery red. The majority of cases have no known cause, but in some cases, it's associated with disorders such as scleroderma and polymyositis. Treatment includes avoiding the cold trigger, with the use of mittens or warm clothing, for example, quitting cigarette smoking, and decreasing caffeine intake. In some cases, a sympathectomy can be performed to cut the sympathetic innervation to the affected area. Now let's move on to discuss the parasympathetic division in more detail, including its organization, anatomical innervation, and function. In addition to their different functions, the sympathetic and parasympathetic branches differ in their locations of origin in the body. The sympathetic division is primarily located in the thoracolumbar region of the spinal cord. The parasympathetic division is primarily located in the cranial sacral region of the spinal cord. Differences between the autonomic nervous system and the somatic nervous system. Unlike the somatic nervous system, in which one long neuron reaches the target tissue from the spinal cord, at least two neurons are required for the autonomic nervous system. The first neuron originates in the spinal cord and then projects onto the second neuron to complete the pathway. The first neuron originates in the central nervous system and is known as a preganglionic neuron. The second neuron, known as a ganglionic neuron, releases a signal to the effector organ, for example the heart, or a postganglionic neuron. The ganglia of the parasympathetic division. In the parasympathetic division, the preganglionic nerve fibers exit the central nervous system as the cranial nerves. These cranial nerves then synapse in ganglia with short ganglionic neurons. The ganglia of the parasympathetic division are the pterygopalatine, ciliary, submandibular, and the otic ganglion. The targets of the parasympathetic division. Let's discuss the target of the cranial nerves involved in the parasympathetic division. The ocular motor nerve. This synapses at the ciliary ganglion with the ganglionic fiber. And this fiber then targets the intrinsic eye muscles to decrease the size of the pupil and the shape of the lens. The facial nerve. The facial nerve synapses with two ganglia, the pterygopalatine and the submandibular. The targets are the glands of the nose, tear glands, and salivary glands. The glossopharyngeal nerve. This synapses at the otic ganglion with the ganglionic fiber. And then this fiber then targets the parotid salivary gland and stimulates secretion and vasodilation. The vagus nerve. The vagus nerve synapses with intramural ganglion and it has many targets, including the visceral organs of the neck, thoracic cavity, and most of the abdominal cavity. This leads to stimulation of secretion and an increase in motility in the stomach and the intestine. The parasympathetic stimulation causes glycogen synthesis in the liver. The pelvic nerves. From the nuclei in the sacral spinal cord, the pelvic nerves enter an intramural ganglia. The target organs are the visceral organs of the inferior portion of the abdominal pelvic cavity. This parasympathetic innervation contracts the walls of the bladder and causes erection and vasodilation in both sexes. The general functions of the parasympathetic division. The parasympathetic nervous system is also known as the wine and dine or rest and digest system. It functions by decreasing heart rate, increasing glandular activity, and increasing intestinal activity for digestion and absorption. Overall, the functions of the parasympathetic division lead to relaxation, food digestion and absorption that leads to increased blood glucose and nutrients. The sympathetic and parasympathetic divisions oppose each other, but in a complementary fashion. For example, one can think of the sympathetic division as the accelerator and the parasympathetic division as the brake. The neurotransmitters of these systems are released by postganglion neurons. The parasympathetic division uses the neurotransmitter acetylcholine. Its function includes most frequently opposing the effects of norepinephrine. There are two types of receptors in the postsynaptic neurons used by the parasympathetic division: nicotinic receptors and muscarinic receptors. The nicotinic receptor subtype is located on all the ganglionic neurons. Upon exposure to the neurotransmitter, acetylcholine, these receptors lead to excitation of either the ganglionic neuron or the muscle fiber. Muscarinic receptors are located at cholinergic neuroeffector junctions. These are small, narrow synaptic clefts. Once stimulated, these are longer acting than nicotinic receptors. Here's another clinical challenge exam question. This question is about a component of the parasympathetic division of the autonomic nervous system. For this question, you're asked to identify a nerve fiber that innervates the airways, heart, and intestines and stomach. Here's the question. Which component of the autonomic nervous system has been identified? A. Is it the parasympathetic ganglia chain? B. The pterygopalatine ganglion? C. The vagus nerve? D. The oculomotor nerve? Or E. None of the answers is correct. Here's the answer to the question. This question tests your knowledge of the cranial nerves that are involved in the parasympathetic division. And the correct answer for this question was C, the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve synapses with intramural ganglion, and there are many target organs, including the airways, heart, stomach, and intestines. Now let's move on to discuss the sympathetic division of the autonomic nervous system, including its organization, anatomical innervation, and function. The sympathetic division of the autonomic nervous system is different anatomically than the parasympathetic division, although they target similar organs of the body. Unlike the parasympathetic division, the sympathetic division includes a chain of ganglia that lay lateral to the vertebral column itself. This division has longer and more prominent postganglionic fibers. The preganglionic neurons are located in the lateral gray horn segments of the first thoracic spinal segment through the second lumbar, and the axons of these preganglionic neurons enter ventral roots of their associated spinal segments to synapse with the ganglionic neurons in the sympathetic chain ganglia. The sympathetic chain ganglia are located near the vertebral column, and this is where the ganglionic neurons are located. Within the sympathetic division, there are two different types of ganglia: sympathetic chain ganglia and collateral ganglia. Sympathetic chain ganglia are physically located lateral to the vertebral column, and the neurons in these ganglia control effectors within the body wall, head, and neck. The collateral ganglia are located anterior to the vertebral column, and the neurons in these ganglia innervate effectors in the abdominal pelvic cavity. The suprarenal gland. The suprarenal gland is a major portion of the autonomic nervous system. It's located on the top of each kidney, and this gland contains specialized neurons. Near its center is the suprarenal medulla. The suprarenal medulla is a modified sympathetic ganglion, and when the neurons located here are stimulated, they release catecholamine hormones into the blood circulation. Now let's discuss the targets of the sympathetic innervation. First, the eye. The sympathetic innervation of the muscles of the eye leads to dilation of the eye as well as a relaxation that results in far vision. The heart. The activation of the sympathetic innervation of the heart increases the heart rate and the strength of contraction. The coronary blood vessels of the heart are dilated as part of this activation. The lungs. Activation of the sympathetic innervation of the bronchial muscle causes dilation of the airways to increase the movement of air. The stomach. The activation of sympathetic innervation of the stomach leads to decreased motility and tone in the stomach, as well as a decrease in gastric juice secretion. The small intestine. The activation of sympathetic innervation of the intestine leads to decreased motility and tone. These are the opposite of what normally takes place during digestion and absorption of food. The pancreas. The sympathetic innervation of the pancreas inhibits the secretion of enzymes and insulin. Alternatively, this innervation leads to an increase in the secretion of glucagon. This increases available glucose in the bloodstream. The suprarenal gland. The sympathetic innervation of the adrenal medulla portion of the suprarenal gland promotes the secretion of epinephrine and norepinephrine. And these are both key in the fight or flight system. Sympathetic innervation of the abdominal pelvic organs has the following effects. Number one, the kidney. There's constriction of blood vessels that leads to a decrease in urine production. Number two, the bladder. Relaxation of the muscular wall of the bladder. Number three, the ureter. There's increased motility in the ureter. Number four, the uterus. This inhibits contraction if not pregnant. Number five, the sex organs. In males, contraction of the smooth muscle of the vas deferens and the prostate. In the female, there's a reversal of uterine peristalsis from sympathetic activation. Clinical challenge exam question. The sympathetic division innervates the stomach and the intestines in the abdominal cavity. This innervation is delivered through ganglia in the region. Which of the following statements about the sympathetic innervation to the stomach and intestines is correct? A. The sympathetic innervation of the stomach and intestines is delivered in part through the celiac ganglion. B. The lumbar splanchnic nerves innervate the stomach. C. Collateral sympathetic innervation of the stomach stems from the cardiac plexus. D. Activation of the sympathetic innervation to the stomach causes increased motility. Or E. Activation of sympathetic innervation of the intestines leads to increased motility of the intestines. Here's the answer to the question. This question tests your knowledge of the location of the sympathetic innervation to the stomach and intestines. The correct answer for this question was A. The sympathetic innervation of the stomach and intestines is delivered in part through the celiac ganglion. The collateral ganglia of the sympathetic division. These provide innervation to the abdominal pelvic cavity. The collateral ganglia are, number one, the celiac ganglion. Postganglionic fibers extend from the celiac ganglion to the stomach, duodenum, liver, and gallbladder. Number two, the superior mesenteric ganglion. This is located near the superior mesenteric artery, and its fibers innervate the small intestine and the first portion of the large intestine. And number three, the inferior mesenteric ganglion. This is located near the inferior mesenteric artery, and the fibers extend from this ganglion and innervate the kidney, bladder, and sex organs. As we mentioned, the suprarenal glands are located on the top of each kidney. These glands receive their own blood supply, and they're divided into two regions. The suprarenal glands are a major part of the sympathetic division. The gland itself is divided into the adrenal medulla and the adrenal cortex. Both of these regions receive nerve impulses from the sympathetic nervous system. The adrenal cortex is the outermost layer of the adrenal gland, and its hormones include glucocorticoids, such as cortisol, mineral corticoids, such as aldosterone, and precursors to sex steroids. The adrenal medulla makes up the center of the adrenal gland, and it produces the following key hormones: epinephrine and norepinephrine. Epinephrine is a fight-or-flight hormone, and when it's secreted, it prepares the body for action by increasing heart rate and delivering more blood to skeletal muscles. Norepinephrine is both a hormone and a neurotransmitter. As a hormone, it acts synergistically with epinephrine and also increases blood pressure by vasoconstriction. The function of the sympathetic division. The sympathetic division is known as the fight or flight response, and it becomes more active during stress. When activated, the sympathetic nervous system acts primarily on the cardiovascular system through the actions of epinephrine and norepinephrine. This action leads to an increase in heart rate, increased blood flow to skeletal muscles, and decreased blood flow to the gastrointestinal tract. The sympathetic division uses the neurotransmitter norepinephrine, and it's released through cholinergic synapses. The stimulation of ganglionic neurons leads to the release of norepinephrine at the neuroeffector junctions. Acetylcholine release at preganglionic fibers stimulates the ganglionic neurons, which eventually leads to norepinephrine release. Similar to the parasympathetic division, the sympathetic division has its own unique receptors. The two classes of receptors that are specific to the sympathetic division are alpha receptors and beta receptors. These are responsive to epinephrine and norepinephrine. Alpha receptors are located primarily on the surface of smooth muscle cells in blood vessels. Activation of these receptors leads to constriction of the peripheral blood vessels. Beta receptors are located in the heart, liver, and skeletal muscles. Now we'll move on to discuss autonomic nervous system integration. As most of the organs of the body receive both sympathetic and parasympathetic innervation, a large amount of organization and integration must take place for normal function. The sympathetic and parasympathetic divisions oppose each other, but in a complementary fashion. Most of the major organs of the body receive projections from sympathetic and parasympathetic divisions. Each system is on or active when needed, and at the same time, it will inhibit or shut down the opposing system. The autonomic nervous system contains plexuses. Within the abdominal pelvic cavities, both the parasympathetic and sympathetic fibers mix in these special autonomic plexuses, and they are the cardiac, pulmonary, esophagus, celiac, inferior mesenteric, and hypogastric plexus. Here now is another clinical challenge exam question. A 45-year-old male is diagnosed with an autoimmune disease that specifically targets the adrenal medulla in his adrenal glands. Which of the following symptoms are possible? A. The outer portion of the adrenal gland is the adrenal medulla, and that's what's targeted by this patient's disease. B. Epinephrine secretion would be affected by this patient's disease. C. Epinephrine secretion would not be affected in this patient's disease because it's secreted from the adrenal cortex. D. Both A and B are correct. Or E. Only answer C is correct. Here's the answer to this question. This question tests your knowledge of the adrenal gland, including the hormones and neurotransmitters it secretes as part of autonomic function. The correct answer for this question is B. Epinephrine secretion would be affected by this patient's disease as it's secreted by the adrenal medulla. Let's continue with our discussion of the autonomic plexuses, beginning in the thoracic cavity, the cardiac plexus, and the pulmonary plexus. The cardiac plexus is located near the arch of the aorta, and this plexus contains both sympathetic and parasympathetic fibers. The autonomic fibers that enter the thoracic cavity intersect at the cardiac plexus and the pulmonary plexus. The pulmonary plexus is located at the level of the heart. It also contains both sympathetic and parasympathetic fibers. The esophageal plexus is located just above the diaphragm at the esophageal hiatus, where it passes through to the abdominal cavity. This plexus contains descending branches of the vagus nerve and the splanchnic nerve. The parasympathetic preganglionic fibers of the vagus nerve follow the path of the esophagus into the abdominal cavity to arrive at the celiac plexus. The celiac plexus is also known as the solar plexus. The inferior mesenteric plexus and the hypogastric plexus. The inferior mesenteric plexus is associated with the celiac plexus. This plexus is located adjacent to the inferior mesenteric artery at approximately the L3 vertebral level. From this plexus, the innervation for the viscera down to the initial segments of the large intestine extends. The hypogastric plexus is located at the level of the wings of the ilium bones of the hip. Located within the hypogastric plexus is the parasympathetic outflow of the pelvic nerves, along with the sympathetic postganglionic fibers, sacral splanchnic nerves, and the sympathetic chain. Here are some key differences between the parasympathetic and sympathetic divisions. The parasympathetic division arises in the craniosacral areas. Unlike the sympathetic division, the parasympathetic division has long preganglionic neurons that synapse upon a short postganglionic neuron. This postganglionic neuron releases the neurotransmitter acetylcholine, which brings about the response associated with the parasympathetic division, such as a decrease in heart rate. Preganglionic neurons in the sympathetic division are short. In fact, they synapse with postganglion neurons in a region very close to the spine known as the sympathetic chain. The autonomic nervous system provides for fast visceral reflexes. The visceral reflexes of the body allow for fast automatic responses, which can be modified by signals from the brain. A visceral reflex arc is made up of the sensory neuron that delivers the sensory information from the peripheral receptor to the central nervous system. The outflow of visceral reflex arcs are made up of preganglionic and ganglionic neurons. Visceral reflexes can be divided into short reflexes and long reflexes. A short reflex is one that does not involve the central nervous system. Instead, the interneuron itself is located in the autonomic ganglia. In a long reflex, it does involve an interneuron located in the central nervous system for processing, and it involves multiple synapses. The visceral reflex is made up of the following. Number one, the receptor. The activation of the receptor, such as the end of a sensory dendrite, detects a change in temperature or senses pain. Number two, the afferent neuron. The action potential passes the impulse from the receptor along the afferent fiber to the central nervous system in the case of a long reflex. Number three, interneuron processing. For a long reflex, this takes place in the central nervous system. For a short reflex, the interneuron is located within the ganglion. Number four is the visceral ganglionic neuron. This transmits the motor impulse to the effector. And number five is the visceral effector. This is the response of the effector, such as a muscle. Control of the autonomic nervous system. Centers in the brainstem control the parasympathetic and sympathetic nerve fibers. And these processing centers are in communication with the control center in the hypothalamus. The control of the autonomic nervous system can be divided into two main groups. The sympathetic division, which is controlled from the posterior and lateral hypothalamus, and the parasympathetic division. and it's controlled from portions of the anterior and medial hypothalamus. The functions of the autonomic nervous system can be impacted by the cerebral cortex and the limbic system through emotions. Now we'll discuss those higher levels of autonomic control, such as the cerebral cortex and the limbic system. The cerebral cortex communicates at a subconscious level with both the hypothalamus and the pons, and it can dramatically influence the function of the autonomic nervous system. The limbic system inputs the emotional state into the autonomic nervous system. Anger or fear directly impact the action of the sympathetic division. The hypothalamus is the control center for both the parasympathetic and the sympathetic divisions of the autonomic nervous system. The medulla oblongata contains centers such as the cardiac and respiratory center. These act as processing centers for both parasympathetic and sympathetic complex visceral reflexes. Now we'll move on to discuss higher order functions of the brain, including memory and learning. The higher order functions of the brain are performed by specialized regions and centers within the cerebral cortex. The specialized centers and regions include the general interpretive area, the visual cortex, the auditory cortex, the speech center or Broca's area, the primary motor cortex, the premotor cortex, and the primary sensory cortex. The general interpretive area. This is where information from the sensory association areas flows to, and this center is vital to interpreting words that are read and heard. The speech center. This is also known as Broca's area, and this functions as a motor control for breathing and vocalization patterns that are required to produce speech. The prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex has been reported to be the most complex brain area. This area is responsible for complex learning and reasoning. It communicates with the limbic system to control emotional context. The higher order functions of the brain can be lateralized to a particular hemisphere. An example of this is speech. It's been estimated that 70% of individuals have speech lateralized to the left hemisphere. The left hemisphere contains both Broca's and Wernicke's area, both of which are involved in speech. Evidence for this has come from anatomical and functional imaging studies. It's been estimated that 90 to 95% of right-handed men and women, both handedness and speech, are lateralized to the left hemisphere. In individuals who are left-handed, there is a 60 to 70% left hemisphere dominance in spoken language. Broca's area and Wernicke's area share neural information. It's been reported that Wernicke's area interprets written or spoken words, then this information is projected to Broca's area. From Broca's area, projections to the primary motor cortex result in the words we speak in response. Memory is very complex and involves different regions of the brain. Brain regions associated with memory include the amygdala, the hippocampus, the striatum, and the mammillary bodies. Memory itself can be divided into short-term memory and long-term memory. Short-term memory allows the recall of information for a few minutes or up to an hour or more. There's evidence to suggest that short-term memory involves changes in electrochemical events in the brain as opposed to structural changes. Based on experiments designed to test recall of information, the most effective short-term recall occurs with information or words in groups of 7 plus or minus 2. This is known as chunking of information. For example, a definition in biology is more accurately recalled in short-term memory when groups of 5 to 7 words are memorized at once, as opposed to memorizing 2 to 3 sentences at once. Long-term memory includes structural changes. Long-term memory provides recall of information for years. The hippocampus region of the brain is required for both learning and the conversion of information from short-term memory to long-term memory. Structural changes in the brain as part of long-term memory are further supported by the fact that most amnesia patients have some loss of recent events but can retain lifelong memories. There are a number of models of learning. One example is the multi-store model. In this model of memory, the repetition of learned information or tasks transfers it to long-term memory. Experiments on long-term memory have revealed the fact that there are likely structural changes in the brain. Examples of these changes are long-term potentiation, an increase in the number of synaptic end bulbs, and an increase in neuronal branching patterns. The following is a clinical note on amnesia. Amnesia is a condition in which there's a loss of memory caused by trauma to the brain or diseases of the central nervous system. Depending on which portion of the brain is affected, the memory loss can vary from short and long-term memories to difficulty in the memory of sounds if the auditory association areas are affected. Amnesia can be classified as either retrograde amnesia, in which lost memories involve past events, or anterograde amnesia, in which the individual cannot store new memories. Post-traumatic amnesia can involve both retrograde and anterograde amnesia. Its severity and duration depend on the severity of the initial injury. The following is a clinical note on Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease is a neurologic disorder that's characterized by progressive loss of higher-order functions, including memory. This disease typically affects individuals in the age range of 50 to 65 years, although it can occur earlier in life. There are an estimated 2 million Americans with Alzheimer's disease. The presence of abnormal plaques and neurofibrillary tangles have been reported to be involved in Alzheimer's disease, although it's still unclear whether their presence causes the disease or is a symptom of this disease. The treatment of Alzheimer's disease is supportive, with the use of acetylcholinesterase inhibitors and NMDA receptor antagonists aimed at slowing the progression of Alzheimer's disease. The brain and central nervous system can be affected by a number of diseases and conditions. The following are some examples. Number 1, senility. This is also known as dementia. This is characterized by a loss of cognitive abilities beyond what's expected for the normal effects of aging. Number 2, Alzheimer's disease. This is a degenerative terminal disease that's most common form of dementia. Alzheimer's includes a formation of amyloid plaques and neurofibrillary tangles outside and around the neurons in the brain. Number 3, cerebral palsy. This is a motor condition that causes developmental problems and disability. The cerebrum is the area of the brain affected in this condition, and complications with intrauterine development contributes to the cause of cerebral palsy. Number 4, epilepsy. Epilepsy is characterized by recurrent seizures. There are many types of epilepsy with different types of seizures. Anti-seizure medication can control and reduce the frequency of seizures in most patients. Clinical challenge exam question. The autonomic nervous system is controlled by centers in the brain which communicate and are influenced by different brain regions. Which of the following statements about the control of the autonomic nervous system is correct? A. The pons is the master control center for the autonomic nervous system. B. The cerebral cortex has no influence on the autonomic nervous system. C. The sympathetic division of the autonomic nervous system is controlled by the posterior portion of the thalamus. D. The parasympathetic division is controlled from portions of the anterior and medial hypothalamus. Or E. The limbic system has no role in the control of or influence of the autonomic nervous system. Here's the answer to the question. This question tests your knowledge of the control and integration of the autonomic nervous system. The correct answer for this question is D. The parasympathetic division is controlled from portions of the anterior and medial hypothalamus. The following are clinical terms that are associated with the autonomic nervous system. Smooth muscle. Smooth muscle is located in the bronchioles and blood vessels, and these are targeted by the autonomic nervous system. Cholinergic. Cholinergic is related to the neurotransmitter acetylcholine. It's a substance that leads to the release of acetylcholine. Pilocarpine. Pilocarpine is a parasympathomimetic alkaloid that can be used to treat certain glaucoma cases and as an antidote for atropine poisoning. Ganglion. This is a mass of nerve cell bodies that can either be a dorsal root ganglia or an autonomic ganglia. Pupillary light reflex. This is a visceral reflex test that's used clinically to assess brainstem function. Long reflexes. Long reflexes are polysynaptic reflexes that include central nervous system processing. Short reflexes. Short reflex is a visceral reflex that involves an interneuron located in the autonomic ganglia. Autonomic plexus. Parasympathetic and sympathetic fibers mingle at a series of plexuses in the autonomic nervous system. Summary. The following is a summary of what you've learned in this tutorial. The physiological actions of the human body, such as heart rate, occur with little or no conscious thought. These involuntary actions maintain homeostasis within the body and are performed by the autonomic nervous system. The parasympathetic nervous system is known as the rest and digest system. It functions by decreasing heart rate, increasing glandular activity, and increasing intestinal activity for digestion and absorption. The sympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system is known as the fight or flight response, and it becomes more active during stress on the body. When activated, the sympathetic nervous system acts primarily on the cardiovascular system through the actions of epinephrine and norepinephrine. Most of the major organs of the body receive projections from the sympathetic and parasympathetic divisions, known as dual innervation. Each system is on or active when needed, and at the same time will inhibit or shut down the opposing system. Congratulations on completing the Autonomic Nervous System audio tutorial. For more audio and visual tutorials in chemistry, biology, physics, and math, go to www.rapidlearningcenter.com. Thank you.